Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Jimmy Griffin is here, my brother from another mother. Good to see you.
You too,
always
my
good
friend.
To see you.
Always.
Yeah. I miss playing with you.
Oh, we could do that.
Yeah, we need to do that. We're going to do another DGS Live this year.
Okay.
That was so much fun.
Yes.
That was so cool. Mm-hmm. You know what? The only thing cooler than performing was when we were rehearsing in that big, giant rehearsal space you guys have.
Uh-huh.
And I was pretending it was the Let It Be album.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know that, but I was.
Were you speaking it with a British accent, Dave?
Oh, man. It was so much fun. All the El Monstero equipment was in there. And
nice.
All the Joe Dirt stuff. And it was really, really cool.
Yeah. That's our big playpen.
Yeah.
There.
It's cool. It's fun.
Yeah.
You want to fanboy out a little bit?
I do, because this is the first time I've seen Jimmy since I saw Monstero. So that would have been right before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I told you this, Jimmy, but I said it on the air, so it's not like I know I get it up now.
Right.
You guys are amazing.
Well, thank you.
And I don't listen to Pink Floyd. Like, I've known it. I know all the big hits, right? Mm-hmm. I know all that stuff. I don't know the deeper cuts, but I know all the big hits. I couldn't believe how enthralled I was.
Nice.
You guys are awesome.
Yep.
And you specifically. Mm. I'm sorry, I'm trying not to be embarrassing, but you specifically on the guitar were phenomenal.
Oh, man,
I knew you were good from being in here. I had not seen you guys in that setting.
You didn't see him wail.
And if you guys get to go, whether it's this summer outdoors or next winter, you should go.
Did you guys ever entertain doing a residency in Vegas?
Yeah, it's what we need. If there's any corporate sponsors out there, the small version of the thing is 24 people, two buses, and a semi.
Gotcha.
So it's like we can do those things where in markets where we know we're going to sell the tickets.
Yes.
And the last couple of times we'd go out, you know, we'd have a blast and we would play really cool places and people would show up, but we would come home with not a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, after we paid everybody.
Yeah.
So again, it's fun and we love playing the music, but it takes it takes money to get that to get that role.
You, like all working musicians in St. Louis, have several projects.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, is there one that's just been like, I just can't quit it. I just love it. I love it so much.
Oh, all of them. Like, that's the best part about being me right now is I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. Like, all the music that I play is music that I really care about and love. I'm not ever phoning it any of this stuff in, you know? So yeah, it's the one I always thought would have taken off more that didn't was the Stones band.
Yeah.
Like that was just
Street Fighting
amazing band. And we had and when Andy moved, it all just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
And, but that band, I thought, man, this is just going to be crazy. And we were always just right on the cusp of selling more tickets than I thought we were going to. And but you keep doing it because it's fun. And it's the other thing about having a lot of different projects is I don't have to see the same guys every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those, you know, it's like, all right, it's Friday night. I'm going
here
to the bar.
Go.
And I'm
there's Dave Cowles.
Yep. Play this Foo Fighters song. And, you know. So, yeah, they're all, it always keeps everything fresh. And I get to work with great, but I don't have, there's nobody that I play with that's not amazing.
To what degree, because I say this all the time, that having had the privilege of knowing you guys and playing with so many of you guys over the past 25 years, I get it, going to L.A., going to New York. You can't go to another city, even double the size of St. Louis, and find as many good musicians for my money.
Mm. I think there are. There's just more bad ones when you go to a place that, you know, when you have, like, just the general numbers.
Sure.
You know, if you go to Nashville, there's 9,000 guitar players. Here we might have, you know, 3,000 guitar players. And there's the same amount of good ones and bad ones. You know, okay. The percentages stay the same. It's just the overall numbers get larger. So
how much, I do this all the time when we're together, but I started taking, I took 3 guitar lessons, which you can tell, in 7th grade, and it just didn't immediately happen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, drums, you know, or soccer, whatever it is. When you get to your level and the guys at your level, can you do that by woodshedding, or does God have to put something in you?
No, I don't see myself as a natural musician. There are elements of some of the things I'm able to do that I'm able to memorize all this stuff, like, which isn't a musical thing. It's just, that's part of my brain that can do that type of stuff. But I had to work really hard, you know, and the benefit of being 12 years old, I mean, no job, no bills, no nothing. You can sit in your room for 8 hours, and, you know, and that, I remember my mom, like, Jim, please go outside. You know, please, it's a beautiful day. Please go outside. And I was in my room from 12 to 17.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't getting in trouble. I wasn't, you know, I stopped playing sports at 12 because all the guys that were good at sports started to get exponentially better than I was, and guitar was making more and more sense, and I liked, you know, I thought girls were cool and girls liked rock and roll, and like, okay,
it all worked out.
Yeah.
Who are some of the guys that I would know in town who you do think are naturals?
Fortis is one of those guys. Yeah. And Rich is still a guy that that I'm sure worked just as hard as everybody else. Nobody ever took a guitar lesson and was But nobody ever went doodly doodly doo 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 on their third.
See,
it's never happened.
I love that. I love thinking about you struggling to make a G chord.
Because you
did at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, my buddy, Sean McGarry, who I'm still friends with, we had the same guitar teacher, and he both taught us Heart of Gold by Neil Young. It was the first song I ever learned. And we would take turn. I would play the first chord. He would play the second chord, and while he was doing that, I would switch to the, you know, and these are just cowboy, you know, things that I can do in my sleep now, but that was, you know, and just so we could play the song and it would sound like the song, you know.
How about singing? Did that come naturally? Did you know, like, oh, I can do this?
Totally learned. It was, I didn't want to sing when I started. I just, like, had nothing to do with it. I just wanted to be, you know, because Eddie Van Halen didn't sing. He sang backing vocals, but he wasn't a lead singer. You know, a lot of the guys I dug, you know, Joe Perry at that point wasn't a singer, and I always loved that just silent, you know, lead guitar.
Cool, yeah.
And then it would happen that somebody was sick, and I had to sing something, or I would start to do little bits of things, and I sang in Broken Toys or King of the Hill, and then I guess it was when I started writing my own, because I always wrote King of the Hill. I had originals and other bands I was in, but I never wrote the words. I never wrote the vocals, and so I spent a year sitting in my basement with a tape machine and recording my voice and trying to figure out what the good parts of my voice were and what I was able to do. And I think that has a, you know, have you ever recorded a song that you sing on?
I have.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, that's a huge, you know, you can walk up to a microphone in a bar and just go la, 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 and it goes off into space and nothing.
Yeah.
But when you start recording things and they're sitting there naked as it came out of your mouth.
Yeah.
That's when you really learn.
Believe it or not, early on, like probably 2002, I did 5 Beatles songs solo live
okay.
with guitar.
Right.
I wouldn't do that for anything now. Mm-hmm. But back then, I was younger and dumber and just like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I remember Mark Quinn texted me, and he's like, that's the bravest thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, that's not good. That's not good at all. So what do you have? I know you have Hard Promises, the Petty Show, mm-hmm. coming up. But what else do you have later on this season?
Well, we just, the Hard Promises just put out a video thing. We kind of got a video press kit together, which we've been trying to do for years. So we've spent some time in the studio doing that. The Incurables were just in the studio.
Love it.
And I'm going to finish that record up in
June. Who are the Incurables?
Well, it's a kind of a rotating cast.
Okay.
Because all the guys I play with are really good and they're always working. So, yeah. Drums this go round was Joe Meyer and Kevin Bowers. The bass is always a guy named Kevin Bachman from Summer Magic. Keyboards is either Jake from Elmo or Dave Gorelli, who was, when you were talking about naturals,
yeah,
Dave's one of those guys. And then Jacob Levy playing guitar for me, young kid. That's
one of my favorite CDs. Got it in my office right now.
Dude, when you hear the new stuff, is like it's been like 13 years since I made a record.
Yes, so
it's some really, I'm really excited about.
Good
it.
For
it
you.
Sounded really good.
And then Hard Promises is coming up the 26th, which I have a gig, not a band gig, but a hosting gig. But maybe I'll get out of there in time. I'm not sure how late that's going to go. But the 26th at the Pageant,
mm-hmm.
and just I mean. You do a great Tom Petty.
Well,
I mean, naturally.
Yeah.
Not even like you're mugging it, you know,
right.
kind of thing. It's just like when I sing, John Lennon comes out, and when you sing, so many times I hear that Tom Petty, mm-hmm. which, as you well know, has a shockingly high voice.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
that guy can soar.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't think of him. You think of him more like a Bob Dylan, that uh-huh. kind of guy, but man, he can sing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Try and hit that.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from in his body, but
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got to be one of your favorites.
Oh, totally. Always was. Even like Refugee, like, and that was the era of the skinny ties and short cut, you know, less distortion. And
yeah.
I was into Kiss and Aerosmith and stuff like that. And then I was like, I don't know about these guys. And I didn't like the Talking Heads and I didn't like Elvis Costello, which I love now.
Yeah.
But at the time, that new wave, he kind of came in on that thing. And even then, my first time I heard Refugee, I was like, this is cool. Like, this guy. This
he was
is
just his own
cool.
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't ripping off anybody.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, dude, the catalog on this, it's the easiest set list to make. It's like, well, we got 25 hits, and we only need 23 songs on the set list.
Yeah, so. Everyone knows every song.
Yeah, yeah, it's great, man. It's
Any cool. celebration day coming up?
That is about to get announced, I think, in a week or two. There will be a show. We're going for, I guess I probably shouldn't. It's going to be is it Labor Day? What's in September?
Yes,
Labor Day. It's going to be Labor Day weekend on a Sunday.
Okay.
Which is kind of a gamble. So
I was really excited to see you're playing Evolution Festival.
Yes. Yeah. The Incurables are playing on that. I'm so stoked. Do you know Jeff Jarrett?
No, I don't.
Okay. Jeff is one of the main guys over there. He put us on, and we're on the same day as His Lordship. Check out His Lordship. That's one of my new favorites. It's like if the Ramones and the Stray Cats had a band.
Nice. Well, you want to play something for us, please?
Sure.
Okay.
Which I'm trying to think. What should play?
Whatever you like.
Okay.
I'm gonna set these microphones.
You can get Learning to Fly, You Wreck Me, or To Find a Friend.
I've never heard To Find a Friend. I've never heard you do that.
Okay. Do that one.
Capo time.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on. This is a nice, sweet one, too. In the middle of his life, he left his wife, ran off to be bad. Boy, he was sad. But he bought a new car, found a new bar, went under another name, created a whole new game. In the days
days went by like paper in the wind. Everything changed, then changed again. It's hard to find a friend. It's hard to find a friend. Meanwhile then, his wife's boyfriend moved in, took over the house. Everybody was quiet as a mouse. Didn't change their lives, change their plans. Slowly grew apart, boy, it would have broke your heart. And the days went by like paper in the wind. Everything changed, then changed again. It's hard to find a friend. It's hard to find a friend. And the days went by like paper in the wind. Everything changed, then changed again. It's hard to find a friend. It's hard to find a friend.
Nice, beautiful. It's my buddy Jimmy Griffin. He will be doing Tom Petty, Hard Promises, coming up on the 26th at the Pageant. Get your tickets. Treat yourself. It's going to be a great show. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you so much, man.
Welcome back, DGS. Hello to everyone on the stream. Hello to Sherry. Paul says, why did Dave give up the band? Paul, I had a guy named Dave Cowles who booked all the good bands in town and was also my guitarist and my partner. And a few years ago, right around the time COVID hit, he moved to, I believe, Wisconsin. I think he's back now. But I lost a couple of key guys, Dave and Greg Hullab, my bass player for the whole time, musical director of the band. And it was also just one of those times, I mean, no one was playing during COVID. And you have to realize, I started playing with the band in 2002, and the first 15 years, it was every Friday and Saturday and a lot of Thursdays, and playing 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. and playing festivals and playing casinos and playing bars. And it's probably the most fun I've ever had, possibly more fun than the DGS, just like being in a band. Being with the same guys for basically 20 plus years. Jimmy joined the band about 10, 12 years ago, and that was just an instant, you know, upgrade, obviously. So I have nothing but good things to say about the guys in the band with me. We never had a cross word. They were gentlemen. They were amazing talents and musicians. We just had the time of our life.
Yeah.
And I still get to, like, on DGS Live, I go out there and sing some Beatles tunes, and Jimmy accompanies me on guitar. We'll do something even cooler this year. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, the last DGS Live was the last time I heard you play, and you were playing with Jimmy, and you guys did those Beatles songs.
Yeah.
That's the best I've ever heard you sing.
Oh, thank you.
I thought you guys sounded incredible, and I'm excited to see it again.
Yeah. In fact, we're meeting next week to set it all up.
Huh?
Very nice.
Yeah. There you go.
Who's juggling?
You are.
Oh, yes. But those
never seem to last. Oh, please just lie. Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Our pal Ricky Horton joins us. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, buddy. I don't want to take all the credit, but...
No, take it.
Okay, fine. Fine. You know,
go ahead.
You know those games that we've won at home? I've seen five of them so far, and I've yet to see a loss.
Ooh. So I had a coach once tell me when I gave him credit for helping me, he said, stop doing that because if you give me the credit, then I'll have to take the blame. So, I mean, you can take the credit right now, Dave, but be ready for the, the humbler.
Ricky makes good points,
doesn't
he? Yeah,
no, he's been around.
Ricky makes good points.
He knows some stuff.
I'm just trying to save you some trouble, Dave. That's all.
That's great.
Rick, I got to tell you, I know you really, really well. Johnny, less or so, because he's not Ricky Horton. But the two of you, once you get your vibe, listening to Cardinal Baseball, it's like Buck and Shannon, just the way you guys play back and forth with each other, really enjoyable.
Well, I give a lot of credit to John on that because John's really, John's the guy. John runs the show, and, I've known him since he was a professional broadcaster when I was trying to throw the ball over the plate and, a long time ago. And so he's been at this a long time on national levels, and I take a lot of cues from him. And, honestly, part of what we do is paying attention to each other. If you're not paying attention to each other, then it doesn't work. And, we try hard to do that.
And I'm just going to say, so I made a commitment to myself that I was going to see 20 games this year. And I also just booked a trip to Wrigley. Ricky, I've never seen a professional baseball game outside of Busch.
Oh, how about that?
No.
Yeah. So, you're maybe a ways away from doing this, but my daughter has a plan to go to every ballpark, and several people do. So that's kind of a common thing. You guys have maybe heard people say that. Like, that is their goal. They want to see a baseball game in every ballpark, and that's part of their family travel, their fun, their retirement, whatever it might be in some cases. So it's pretty cool to kind of go see some of the other venues and, see what you like about them. But, it also helps you kind of love home, too.
And I know that it's kind of silly for a guy on KMOX to tell the St. Louis listeners, hey, you know what's fun? Going to a Cardinals game. But I'm telling you, like, this is an exciting team. I am not going in spite of this team. I'm going because of this team.
Yeah, so I have been on that exactly what you just said. And I'm not saying this team's going to be 20 games over 500. I don't know where they're going to end up, frankly. I mean, they've been picked to be, probably below 500. I think they're better than that, but I don't know how good they'll end up being. But I will say this, they have been exactly that fun. There's a lot of young guys just playing hard. It's a different kind of brand of baseball, less strikeouts. They're putting the ball in play. They're running. I mean, just all the things that you love. Plus, the outfield defense has been fun. Jordan Walker's been really good in right field. He has made big leaps defensively. I just think they're hungry, and I think when you watch a hungry team, that's a fun team. And there's also not to be the sales guy on this, but there's more cool things happening at the ballpark too, including DJs and Friday night concerts. I mean, it's becoming a more hip place. That's why you like it, Dave.
That's why I like it.
Yeah,
guilty as charged.
You're hip.
Well, it doesn't hurt to try to make that sales pitch coming off of a series win against Philly. You're in the last week, you've beaten Skeens, Nola, and Wheeler. Yeah. And last night, Framber Valdez, another all-star who's been a Cy Young vote getter. And it's, you know how it is, Rick. I mean, it comes in waves. When we talked a week ago, we were talking about the rotation not really holding up its end of the bargain, and now it is. And by the way, it's not a secret that that's why the results turn, too.
I believe we may have gotten to the point where you and I together said a week from now we're talking about how the Cardinals all they're doing is hitting and they can't pitch, and then for a while they weren't hitting,
right?
And then it's like, okay, it goes around, comes around, but of course in the last few days they've done both, which is when it's fun.
How great is it though? And big picture, it is so important for Andre Pallante and Matthew Liberatore to be good. Not necessarily aces, although, we'll take it. But, like, if those guys are good, that just sets up so many options moving forward, not just making your team better now, but with, three of your current starting pitchers heading to free agency at the end of the year, and some of them maybe being traded at the end of the year, having two young, controllable guys in that rotation moving forward is a big deal.
Yeah, you're trying to set up McGreevy and Matthews to be two of the guys that would kind of be added to the rotation at some point. And if those two guys don't, if it doesn't work, if their runway, they run out of runway, and I don't think that's going to happen with those two guys. But if it did, now you fill those two guys there. Now you've still got three needs or two needs to fill long term, I'm talking about. It's interesting, baseball. You said big picture. It's always fun about baseball is you go back and forth from little picture to big picture constantly. I feel like I'm doing that when I'm broadcasting. You're talking about why did that guy boot that ball going to his left, and then what does that mean for the Cardinals over the next year or decade? I mean, it's amazing how baseball kind of drives you there, but that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah.
Rick, I have a Dave question for you. So I pitched a little bit. I'm a sidearm guy. I could throw no junk, could never throw a curveball. I could throw strikes. When you are throwing the curve and the slider and the sinker and so forth, is the job to throw it the same way every time so that the hitter can go, here comes the sinker? So your motion's the same way every time, it's just the grip?
Yeah. Yes. It's called tunneling is the phrase where you start every pitch out coming out of the same spot. So a hitter doesn't know what it is yet. And he's got a half a second to determine. If you drop sidearm to throw your fastball, you go straight over top with a curveball. Everybody in the world notices, every hitter can notice that right away. Judge the speed and you'll be backing up third base all the time, Dave. And here's something for you. If you throw sidearm, there's a reason you can't throw a breaking ball when you're sidearm, or why it's hard, because when you throw a curveball, you have to have your fingers on top of the ball to get the right spin, and that's hard to do when you're throwing sidearm.
Yeah, I mean, what's so great, Rick, and I know it can be tedious for a lot of people, but it's, to me, fun to learn why things work, right? So we know so much more. You came up in an era, I don't know if you were ever, that people tried to change you, but you came up in an era where they were trying to make pitchers more be the same. We want you all to be three quarters or above. We don't want weird arm angles. We want everything to be similar. And now we understand that all of these arm angles work. We just got to make the pitches that you use fit the way that you throw the baseball.
I would almost say I go back to a time where for us it was very results given. Are you getting people out or not? Are they, you know, the idea was, you know, is that a good slider? And the coach would say, well, the hitters will tell you if it's a good one or not. Because they'll either swing and miss or hit it. And sometimes you don't have a good answer for it. My great example of this, John Costello was a reliever for the Cardinals, had a career ERA under 3, right-handed, did not throw 90 miles an hour. That doesn't work usually for right-handers. And he pitched up in the zone.
Yeah.
And at the time, it'd be like, I don't know why, but guys can't hit him. Well, the why that we know now is that he had a great spin rate. I'm sure he did on his fastball up in the zone. But we didn't have a measurement for that. All we know is that he pitched well.
Right.
And that's kind of all you needed to know.
Is there any downside to all the metrics, in your opinion, Rick?
Yeah, there can be. I think it can be kind of overanalysis for a guy. I mean, if he's not careful, for the player. Well, first of all, you analyze it, and then once you throw stuff into a formula, all the variables into a formula, 10 minutes later, it's outdated. Because what if the other team makes an adjustment to what you've determined, and now you got to adjust to that? Well, you got to change that. You got to tweak that variable. So the point is, if you're going to compete, you can't rely on what the stats say yesterday or last week, because stuff is different, or the metrics say. So, it can change. So Colton Wong started hitting the ball the other way, and teams in the National League kept playing him the pole for a whole half a year because his career numbers said he doesn't do it. So he kept getting hits because he made a change. So you've got to react to change, and you also got to not get too involved in your head if you're the pitcher or the hitter, to where that's kind of paralyzing you.
So, Rick, you're on the bus with these guys and the plane with these guys and in the clubhouse. What's the vibe?
It's very positive. It's fun. I think it's a fun vibe. I think they're kind of loose. You know, they're young guys. I think I would say free is a word that comes to mind. I think they're free to be themselves, and I think the coaches, I think the whole team has kind of created an atmosphere where we're just going to let you be, communicating very clearly this runway idea. You know, it's a runway that requires work, but, you know, obviously these guys are big leaguers. They know all about work. I mean, the work that Matthew Liberatore puts in, or Ivan Herrera put in the offseason, I mean, it's beyond what we can even understand, the number of hours they put in. So work is not a problem for them. They love to do it because it's baseball. But I think the messaging that we're going to let you be free to make some mistakes and to, you know, test some things, I think that's made them play better, frankly.
And do these guys work a lot harder in the offseason than your era, Rick?
times a thousand. Mm. You know, I played racquetball twice a week and called it a day. I mean, remember racquetball? The precursor. It's the Neanderthal man for pickleball. I mean, I mean, we used to do that. We used to, and then we played basketball. We'd work out, but you know, not the way they do now. We go to spring training really not ready to pitch. They come ready to go.
Yeah, and look, I mean, some of that's practicality too, right?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these guys, even the bare minimum is $700,000 a year. You know, so I mean, the guys have time. Yeah. If you're a big leaguer, you have the money to spend that off season in the gym, in driveline, yeah, or wherever, just doing that.
So there's another thing that will bear some studying over the next, you know, decade or so. You know, everybody's working harder, they're throwing more in the off season, and they're getting hurt more. Exponentially more.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that we think that that's because they're max effort throwing, but it could also be because they're not taking that 3 or 4 month rest that we used to take.
I would love to see the sport do a study on position players too. Like what's the rate of injury now compared to 20, 25 years ago for position players? I mean, I'm not sure that I've noticed a huge change, but there are different kinds of injuries.
Yes, I almost think it's less. I think you see more obliques. I mean, we used to have obliques all the time, but I think there's more, you know, I think there's less hamstring issues because they're really good. I mean, the athletic trainers have really, and all the medical people,
yeah,
have really developed a really good dynamic stretching kind of model as opposed to just static stretching that we used to do.
Right.
I think that dynamic stretching is much better for a baseball player.
Rick, I fought my better angels last night. Nick and I were in the front row of the bleachers in right field, and I had a good view of the KMOX booth, and I almost texted you, and I'm like, hey, if you look out in the outfield, you can see me. And then I'm like, don't push it. You always push it, Dave.
Hey, Dave, hey, you feel free to do that, and you know, because you've been up there, that I have binoculars. I'd have found you.
There you
I'd have
go.
Waved to you.
There you go. Yeah, I had my
Next
first
time, do it.
I had my first experience with heckling last night. I'm not used to being in the bleachers, and I'm not used to a bunch of bros, 23 years old, heckling McCormick from the Astros. And he kept looking at me. I'm like, not me, brother.
So you've already said that you're going to go to Wrigley Field. Spend a few innings in the bleachers in Wrigley Field.
Oh, boy.
Actually, during batting practice used to be the worst time. I mean, you found out things about yourself you never knew during batting practice.
That's awesome. All right, pal, bring home a winner. Have a good night.
All right, guys, good to be with you.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Welcome back, DGS 251, Razor's Edge.
Yeah, I wanted to do this with you guys. So they just did a survey, and it shows that 46% of Gen Z parents are likely to look to famous people for name ideas when it comes to their newborn baby.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Gen Z parents.
Yeah, so like 20.
We got those?
Yeah. Yeah, like early 20s.
Even like I think mid-20s are Gen Z now.
That's crazy.
Oh,
it's bad.
Goodness.
It's real bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, continue.
But they're looking to celebrities to help name their babies, and I have the most popular celebrity baby names here.
Okay.
I want to know if you guys know all of these people.
Okay.
So the first one is Kim. Who do you think that is?
Kardashian.
Correct. That is the most popular celebrity-inspired baby name worldwide.
Hmm. I'm going to name my kid after the sex tape lady. That's a great plan.
How do we know? I mean, maybe they just like the name Kim. How do we know that it's specifically, like, are they just giving all Kims to Kim K?
I think there's a resurgence in the name Kim because of Kim K.
Okay.
I always have loved the name Kimberly because that's my mom's name. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's a really pretty name. And Kim Kardashian is a very pretty lady. So it's like, all right, you want to get
good looking.
It is a good name. That's just a weird reason to pick it.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you on that one. What about number two, Sabrina?
Carpenter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the teenage witch. Perhaps.
If that's what you want to call her.
And number three, Andrew's not allowed to guess on this one. Number three is Olivia. Do we know Olivia?
Newton-John.
A little later.
I do.
It's the lady that did the Addams Family dance.
No, it's Olivia.
That's Jenna.
Oh. Damn.
It's, I don't know.
Rodrigo.
There you go. Yes. There you go.
So she had the big album a couple years ago. She's a very lovely young lady. She rounds out the top three.
Olivia's pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
It's a great name.
Okay, so for the boys, the first one is Leonardo. That one's kind of easy.
Da Vinci.
Yeah, he's getting kind of long in the tooth for...
I was going to say,
I was going to say. He's like
he's a bit old for the Gen Zers. Well, they kind of fit his choices, though.
He dates Gen Zers, so it all makes sense.
Yeah, they're all Leonardo Juniors.
He's their dad's age, but whatever.
The next one is Justin. Which Justin do we think we're talking about? No, Justin Bieber, not Justin Timberlake.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting.
Who is technically a millennial.
I was going to say.
He's 31 years old.
So the dudes they're picking are older.
That's correct.
How old is Justin?
He is 31 years old.
Although Kardashian's not Bieber? Young, right? She's pretty. She's got to be 40 something.
Kim's like 43. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Bieber was like 41.
Bieber?
I didn't realize.
It's just
he
been
was
around
like,
since he was like four.
Okay. Yeah, you've just been. Yeah, you just been hearing about him since he was a wee baby.
Yep, 31 years old. And the third one is Jacob
Marley.
Now, I hope I say his name right. Elordi.
Elordi.
I don't know who that is.
Hot guy.
Yeah, he's a hot guy. Oh, he was in Saltburn, if
Didn't
you guys saw Saltburn. Yeah. But those are the popular boys.
Saltburn, et cetera.
How many Daves we got in that list?
Oh, number four, Dave Glover.
Nice!
Oh, look at you.
Dave Glover.
You're an influencer.
I'm always right behind Elordi.
Yeah. That guy, damn it.
Damn it. I'm never getting anywhere with
him. It's a rivalry for the ages.
Oh, man. Yep.
If you were going to be a celebrity name, what would you want it to be?
Oh, good question. Good question.
Pick one or have one? Like for your own name, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
For your name. Mm. I always wanted to be a Rex.
A Rex, okay.
Named after anyone or just...
Rex Humbard, the evangelist. No, kidding. I used to get up on Sunday mornings and watch that crap.
Oh, man.
Like when I was little, I'd watch like the Catholic Hour and Rex Humbard and Jimmy Swaggart.
And you enjoyed watching it?
I got up purposefully early just to do it.
I always wanted to be named Swaggart.
That was
mine.
Celebrity name should be Wolf.
Swaggart Taggart.
Like Wolf Blitzer.
Wolf Wheeler.
Or
I like that.
Wolfman Jack.
Yeah.
We could get it started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Called him Taliban for 12 years.
Yeah.
It's true.
You still can't shake that one.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.